Please turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Luke chapter 18, Gospel of Luke chapter 18. I have two short readings this evening. This is the first one, the longer of the two. We'll be reading from verse 1 to 8. Luke 18. And we're told the application in the very first verse. Speaking of Jesus, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And then to Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. It reads, in the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Let's pray. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening desiring to hear from you. Would you speak to us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. As some stand later to pray, and others of us join in unison and agreement as we echo and buttress with our amens, I want us to ask, why are we doing this? Why is it necessary? But also, should we even bother? Should we continue with that part of the service? Is it worthwhile? And that might seem like a very strange question indeed, because we know the answer we should give instinctively. We're Christians, therefore we pray. We adore, we confess, we give thanks. But we also ask for things. We make supplication for things. And there's an apparent tension here in the two passages that we read and many other passages of Scripture. And it revolves around the age-old question. If God already knows, why pray? If God already knows, why pray? Writer Wayne Speer, in his book Talking to God, he describes this tension succinctly. He says, if God is infinitely wise and benevolent, kind, if it is true that your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him, as we just read in Matthew chapter 6, if he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, Ephesians 3:20, then what good does it do to pray? Will not God do what is best for us, whether we ask him or not? Do you see how important this is to get right? We need to understand why these people stand here, why we pray in private. Well, to answer this question, if God already knows why pray, we need to approach this from two different angles. Both clearly and undeniably backed up by numerous scriptures. How do we reconcile what we know the Bible teaches about prayer with what it teaches about the nature of God himself? That's why our first point, our first angle is this. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Well, let me explain what that word means, first of all. As Christians, we seek to know God better and better through what we read about his attributes and characteristics in the Bible. And we'll never really understand everything about God in this lifetime. And it's something that we'll be plumbing the depths of for eternity. But what we do know is that he is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. And those three important words all start with that four-letter Latin prefix, omni. Omni, and it means all, it means in every conceivable way. So together those three words reveal to us that our infinite God is all-powerful, everywhere present, and all-knowing. And that's our foundation this evening. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And in one sense, God has an undeviating course through history. You see, here we're pushing on the same door as we did when Pastor Johnson preached on reprobation. God's sovereignty and human responsibility. We're hearing some echoes here, but rather than evangelistic fatalism or parental fatalism, here we're at risk of prayer fatalism. He is all-powerful and in control of everything in his creation. God's purpose will never fail. Isaiah 46:9, I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. God infallibly accomplishes his purposes. Does that make our prayer superfluous, worthless? Proverbs 16:9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his path. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God's purpose is sovereign, and human will is subject to it. He has a perfect purpose and plan throughout history, from beginning to end. He is the one sitting on the throne. It cannot be frustrated. This blueprint is written in indelible ink. Not one square inch is out of his control, as Kuyper famously said. It's an all-encompassing plan. There's a supreme, eternal purpose. There are no mistakes. There's never been a plan B. He is in control, and what he wills comes to pass. Ephesians 1:11. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will. One writer said this: our prayers could not possibly rest or take control of any part of the universe away from God. We must understand who God is. That's our foundation. He is infinite. We can't fully grasp it. He's transcendent. R.C. Sproul said, nothing escapes God's notice. Nothing oversteps the boundaries of his power. God is authoritative in all things. If I thought even for one moment that a single molecule were running loose in the universe outside of the control and domain of Almighty God, I wouldn't sleep tonight. My confidence in the future rests in my confidence in the God who controls history. So we've seen our first point. God is sovereign. God is in control. That's our foundation, which I need you to keep at the forefront of your mind as we look at another truth or set of truths clearly set out for us in the Bible, often by the same writers, obviously all inspired by the same Holy Spirit. Wayne Speer again links these two truths. He says, to conclude from God's sovereignty that prayer is unnecessary is to reason contrary to the clear teaching of the Word of God. That's our second point. First, God is sovereign. Second, Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer works. God answers prayer. The Bible is filled with promises about the power of prayer. And importantly, we can see examples of this in the scriptures and in our own experience. Look at Abraham. Genesis 18. In a sense, he negotiates with God. And the response to his prayer was that God would not destroy Sodom if 10 righteous people could be found. He seemingly has an influence, a real one, not a fake one, not a pretend one. Moses pleads for the people to avert God's wrath. And it says that the Lord relented. Exodus 32. God is going to consume the Israelites, and seemingly God modified his intention because of the prayer of Moses. Elijah's prayer brought drought. James 5, 17 and 18. He prayed away the rain. He prayed it back. Reformer John Calvin said it was a notable event for God to put heaven, in some sense, under the control of Elijah's prayers. To be obedient to his requests. By his prayers, Elijah kept heaven shut for 2.5 years. Then he opened it and made it suddenly pour with a great rain, from which we may see the miraculous power of prayer. We could think of Peter being miraculously released from prison in Acts 12. Douglas Kelly, who wrote a book with the same title as this message, said, God will bless Elijah and send rain on Israel, but Elijah must pray for it. If the chosen nation is to prosper, Samuel must plead for it. If the Jews are to be delivered, Daniel must intercede. God will bless Paul and the nation shall be converted through him, but Paul must pray. Pray he did, without ceasing. His epistles show that he expected nothing except by asking for it. We have instructions, we have examples, we have reasons why we should pray and who we should pray for. Matthew 5, 44, pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 6, 5, and when you pray, there's an assumption there that Christians pray. Further on in that passage it says, this then is how you should pray. Romans 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Are these all just worthless commands? No. Ephesians 6, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Philippians 4, 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Colossians 4, 2, devote yourselves to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, pray continually without ceasing. 1 Timothy 2, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. James 5 tells us that if you're suffering, you should pray. If you're sick, you should pray. And the prayer of faith will heal. We're told to pray for each other. Then it says in verse 16, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Hebrews 5, 7, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Jesus prayed. Charles Spurgeon said, it is well said that asking is the rule of the kingdom. It is a rule that will never be altered in anybody's case. If the royal and divine Son of God cannot be exempted from the rule of asking that he may have, you and I cannot expect to have the rule relaxed in our favour. R.C. Sproul again said, no human being has ever had a more profound understanding of divine sovereignty than Jesus. No man ever prayed more fiercely or more effectively. The very reason we pray is because of God's sovereignty. Because we believe that God has it within his power to order things according to his purpose. That parable that we read, Luke 18, that Jesus tells teaches us to pray and not give up. Perseverance in seeking God's face. Determined. Resolved. He wants us to pursue an answer, to seek the right things. We find pictures elsewhere of crying, of knocking, of wrestling, of striving, of labouring. James 4, if you do not ask, you will not receive. Denial of the efficacy of prayer is the fruit of unbelief. Our prayers matter. And God's wise plan is sovereign and infallible. Both our points are true. Both are asserted over and over in Scripture. We need a biblical worldview that holds these two together. We are invited and encouraged to participate. We need to pray because God tells us to. And that should be reason enough. But then just to add, prayer benefits us. We will thrive, we will grow. We catch the vision of who our God is and how He uses our prayers, and it will strengthen and motivate you in your prayer life. Prayers of ordinary people have been eternally ordained as means in the sovereignty of God. These are part of the outworking of His purposes. God uses means. We have the privilege to participate in those means. God has planned to use our prayers. The sovereign God of the universe commands in His word that we should pray, and He promises to respond when we pray. Prayer is not optional for the Christian. It's required. Therefore, we must do it. So God moves His people to pray in order that He may respond to their prayers and thus carry out His will. You see, God ordains the means as well as the ends. And it's this that gives prayer its meaning. Think about it this way. Why waste your time praying to a God who is not sovereign? As Speer says, if the purpose and activity of God did not control events, then all human activity would be meaningless, including prayer. Effectively, Jesus says to us, paraphrasing, God already knows, so pray. Sproul says this, does prayer make any difference? Does it really change anything? Someone once asked me that question, only in a slightly different manner. Does prayer change God's mind? My answer brought storms of protest. I simply said, no. Now, if the person had asked me, does prayer change things? I would have answered, of course. Luther famously said, showing how critical prayer is to the Christian, he says, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. William Cooper said, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Oh, the devil wants to keep us away from prayer. He wants us to think that our prayers are meaningless, but they're not. Prayer works. Prayer changes things. It's a duty. It's a discipline. It's a delight. With affections of the heart and convictions of the mind. With confidence that we have an all-powerful God who hears and answers. One writer said, pray even though God knows our need. Pray knowing God answers. Pray knowing that God is powerful. Pray knowing God knows best. I'll leave you with this. Do you know this God? This prayer-answering God who sent His Son to bleed and die and rise again for sinners like you and I. This almighty, sovereign God sent His Son so that we might be saved. And friends, that's the first prayer that you need. Prayer of repentance and faith in this almighty God who rules this universe. You need repentance and faith, and you can be assured that He will answer that prayer if you come in that manner. Let's pray. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do indeed answer prayer. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are sovereign. And therefore we can have full and total confidence and assurance in you. Lord, you are the all in all. You are everything to us. Help us to have that confidence as we lift up our voices to you in prayer. Help us to pray with confidence and with assurance. And Lord, we pray for any here who don't know you. Would you open their hearts to your truth and guide them to salvation through grace alone? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.